14. Storm Warning. I've called this meeting of the committee, said His Excellency the Ambassador from Mars to the United Planets, because Dr. Pereira has something important to tell us. He insists that we get in touch with Commander Norton right away, using the priority channel we've been able to establish, after, I might say, a good deal of difficulty. Dr. Pereira's statement is rather technical, and before we come to it, I think a summary of the present position might be in order. Dr. Price has prepared one. Oh yes, some apologies for absence. Sir Lewis Sands has had to leave for Earth for a conference he's chairing, and Dr. Taylor asked to be excused. He was rather pleased about that last absence. The anthropologist had rapidly lost interest in Rama when it became obvious that it would present little scope for him. Like many others, he had been bitterly disappointed to learn that the mobile worldlet was dead. Now there would be no opportunity for sensational books and vidies about Raman rituals and behavioral patterns. Others might dig up skeletons and classify artifacts, but that sort of thing did not appeal to Conrad Taylor. Perhaps the only discovery that would bring him back in a hurry would be some highly explicit works of art, like the notorious frescoes of Thera and Pompeii. Thelma Price took exactly the opposite point of view. She preferred excavations and ruins uncluttered by inhabitants who might interfere with dispassionate scientific studies. The bed of the Mediterranean had been ideal, at least until the city planners and landscape artists had started getting in the way. And Rama would have been perfect, except for the maddening detail that it was 100 million kilometers away, and she would never be able to visit it in person. As you all know, she began, Commander Norton has completed one traverse of almost 30 kilometers without encountering any problems. He explored the curious trench shown on your maps as the Strait Valley. Its purpose is still quite unknown, but it is clearly important, because it runs the full length of Rama, except for the break at the Cylindrical Sea, and there are two identical structures 120 degrees apart on the circumference of the world. Next, the party turned left, or east if we adopt the North Pole Convention, until they reached Paris. As you'll see from this photograph, taken by a telescopic camera at the hub, it is a group of several hundred buildings, with wide streets between them. Now, these photographs were taken by Commander Norton's group when they reached the site. If Paris is a city, it is a most peculiar one. Note that none of the buildings have windows or even doors. They are all plain, rectangular structures, an identical 35 meters high, and they appear to have been extruded from the ground. There are no seams or joints. Look at this close-up of the base of a wall. There's a smooth transition into the ground. My own feeling is that this place is not a residential area, but a storage or supply depot. In support of that theory, look at this photo. These narrow slots or grooves, about 5 centimeters wide, run along all the streets, and there is one leading to every building, going straight into the wall. There is a striking resemblance to the streetcar tracks of the early 20th century. They are obviously part of some transport system. We've never considered it necessary to have public transport direct to every house. It would be economically absurd. People can always walk a few hundred meters. But if these buildings are being used for the storage of heavy materials, it would make sense.
May I ask a question? Said the ambassador from Earth.
Of course, Sir Robert.
Commander Norton couldn't get into a single building.
No. When you listen to his report, you can tell he was quite frustrated. At one time, he decided that the buildings could be entered only from underground. Then he discovered the grooves of the transport system and changed his mind.
Did he try to break in?
There was no way he could, without explosives or heavy tools. And he doesn't want to do that until all other approaches have failed.
I have it!
Dennis Solomons suddenly interjected.
Cocooning!
I beg your pardon?
It's a technique developed a couple of hundred years ago,
continued the science historian.
Another name for it is mothballing. When you have something you want to preserve, you seal it inside a plastic envelope and then pump in an inert gas. The original use was to protect military equipment between wars. It was once applied to whole ships. It's still widely used in museums that are short of storage space. No one knows what's inside some of the 100-year-old cocoons in the Smithsonian basement.
Patience was not one of Pereira's virtues. He was aching to drop his bombshell and could restrain himself no longer.
Please, Mr. Ambassador, this is all very interesting, but I feel my information is rather more urgent.
If there are no other points, very well, Dr. Pereira. The exobiologist, unlike Taylor, had not found Rama a disappointment. It was true that he no longer expected to find life, but sooner or later, he felt quite sure, some remains would be discovered of the creatures who had built this fantastic world. Exploration had barely begun, although the time available was horribly brief, before Endeavor would be forced to escape from her present sun-grazing orbit. But now, if his calculations were correct, man's contact with Rama would be even shorter than he had feared. One detail had been overlooked, because it was so large that no one had noticed it before.
According to our latest information, Pereira began, one party is now on its way to the Cylindrical Sea, while Commander Norton has another group setting up a supply base at the foot of Stairway Alpha. When that's established, he intends to have at least two exploratory missions operating at all times. In this way, he hopes to use his limited manpower at maximum efficiency. It's a good plan, but there may be no time to carry it out. In fact, I would advise an immediate alert and a preparation for total withdrawal at 12 hours' notice. Let me explain. It is surprising how few people have commented on a rather obvious anomaly about Rama. It is now well inside the orbit of Venus, yet the interior is still frozen, and the temperature of an object in direct sunlight at this point is about 500 degrees. The reason, of course, is that Rama has not had time to warm up. It must have cooled down to near absolute zero, 270 degrees below, while it was in interstellar space. Now, as it approaches the sun, the outer hull is already almost as hot as molten lead. But the inside will stay cold until the heat works its way through that kilometer of rock. There's some kind of fancy dessert with a hot exterior and ice cream in the middle. I don't remember what it's called.
Baked Alaska. It's a favorite at UP banquets, unfortunately.
Thank you, Sir Robert. That's the situation in Rama at the moment, but it won't last. All these weeks, the solar heat has been working its way through, and we can expect a sharp temperature rise to begin in a few hours. That's not the problem, however. By the time we'll have to leave anyway, it will be no more than comfortably tropical.
Then, what's the difficulty?
I can answer in one word, Mr. Ambassador.
Hurricanes.